Hello, everybody, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree podcast with Troy and Bruce. I'm Bruce, and I'm sort of flying solo today. And what I mean by that is we're going to make available some prophetic training that I did a couple of years ago. And if you are watching the video of this podcast, you'll see that it was right before I decided to grow my beard out. So I, to me, I look a little funny looking, you know, but hopefully you get a kick out of that, but also that you'll really get a lot out of the training. I think it's really good training on the prophetic for prophets and for prophetic types. I hope you get a lot out of it. Let's go ahead and get started on it, and we'll see you at the end. Matthew 13:21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. That's kind of talking about y'all familiar with the seed, and the different kind of seeds fall on different kind of grounds, right? And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. That's very interesting. That's very interesting. I am of the mind that all of the talk about revival won't come without persecution. And persecution will bring us right on into repentance. And repentance will bring right on into that revival. Everybody wants to skip the first two, persecution and repentance. But all you got to do is look at 9-1-1, right? 9-11? The day after 9-11, there was more people in church that had been in church since I don't know when. The day after. Trouble makes you pray. Trouble makes you go after God. And God knows that. So he allows a level of trouble, not to take you out per se, but he allows a level of trouble. So our life, as wonderful and cushy as we would want it to be in God, our life that we have chosen to follow Christ is one that is kind of laced with things that he may not move out of the way. Okay? I am a firm believer that when I look back over my life, and particularly stupid things that I did a lot of stupid things, but these particular stupid things that I did that should have taken me out, he jumped in and decided, no, that'll take him out. Let me go ahead and, you know, because I got to keep him going, right? But there's a whole bunch of other stuff that he just didn't do nothing with. And one day he said to me, he said, you know, you're not in the hand of the enemy anymore, right? I was like, that means the enemy is not doing this. This is my bad decisions and my lack of getting closer. You know what I'm saying? This is me. And I began to teach it. You're not in the hand of the enemy anymore. So now you got to look at what's happening in your life and understand it for what it really is and what it's really not. It's called take responsibility. Right? It's called take responsibility. That's all. How you think you're not going to pray for 3 weeks, and then when trouble comes, you know what I'm saying? You're asking, why, God, why? Like Nancy, remember that? Oh. Never mind. You ain't right there. You ain't right there. I told y'all, I ain't apologizing for how I think. God did this. If you have a problem with how I think, talk to God about it. Because he did this, and funny is funny to me. I was sorry she got hurt, but that why is still funny to me after decades. Why? Why? Anyway, so you be wondering about why God, you know, but you hadn't talked to God in 3 weeks. Come on. You know what I'm saying? Is that right? That's about right. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution. See, oh, I wasn't finished with that one. But this one deals with it too. What if persecution comes to the church in America? See, this is the church in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. What if persecution comes to the church in America to the point that you got to up and leave? What would that look like?
Where they going?
Sounds like it's not
right. Huh? Where who going? The people in America?
Yeah.
Hey, if it get bad enough, you go somewhere. You go underground. Fi Sha Shengwa is Chinese. It means the church underground.
Uh-huh. Millions.
Millions. And you know what? They'll come in a room that don't have air conditioning. And they will pile in a room like sardines, and they will stay there for hours, even days, and refuse to move, and refuse to let the preacher stop preaching. Mm-hmm. Just saying. Now those who were scattered because of persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. That's very interesting. Because now you need to really be functioning in the scripture that says you have an unction from the Holy One, Kathy, and you know all things and need not a man to teach you. Now you really need to be functioning in that. Having an unction, who to talk to, who not to talk to. While y'all was at lunch, guess what we had happen? A young man came in here, he was Russian. And he came in here in very broken English and began to ask me questions about the class and what are we doing and wanted to know about us and this and that. And it ended up me praying and prophesying to him, and Troy praying and prophesying to him. And he was just so happy, and we got it right. I asked him, I said, is that right? He said, yes, that's right. Well, we prophesied, right? And then he said, before I leave, can I pray for you? And he prayed this wonderful, sincere prayer for us that God would bless us tremendously. You just have to know that you're called to be here. Is that good?
Yeah.
Know that you're called to be here. Whoo, yeah, Lord, I'll say that. Stop apologizing for being here. Stop living your life apologetically. You belong here. Is that good?
Yeah.
Amber, you like that, don't you? That hit you in the heart, don't it? It did. I know it did. I can see it on your face. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. This is interesting. Jesus made a point one time to the disciples. He said, if you go into a city and you're not welcome, don't even worry about it. Flee to the next city. He didn't say walk. He didn't say casually stroll. He said run to the next city. What does that tell you? That everything that God has called you to do ain't going to look like a victory. That there may be some retreating necessary for you to continue to do what God has called you to do. Once again, we have an unction from the Holy One and we know all things, right? We have to be close enough to Holy Spirit to know when we're supposed to advance and know when we're supposed to drop back and leave that alone. I used to take the bus to work some years ago before I got really, really, really busy and started driving every day. But I would catch the bus to work. So I'd catch the city bus from right in front of our condo, and that would take me uptown, and then I would get on the express, and the express would shoot me all the way up to Fort Mill, Fort Mill. Davidson, thank you. And man, you talking about demons at the bus stop. Oh, and there were times I just didn't want to deal with them. And so you know what I would do? Jay, I had a woman, demon possessed like a mother. Oh, come and sit next to me on the bus. Out of all the seats on the bus, she come sit next to me on the bus. And she's already manifesting. And I'm next to the window. True story. And I'm like, I'm tired. I was on the way home. I wasn't going to work. So going to work, it might have been a different story. I was fresh going to work. I was tired and I just wanted to get home. You got to pick your battles. You got to know what's for you to deal with and what's not for you to deal with. A lot of people are suffering because of false compassion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
because you got in your mind that you're just going to deal with every single thing that come across your path, you're going to get wore out. You're going to get wore out. So you got to be strong. Sorry? False compassion. A lot of people are destroyed because of false compassion. That part.
You said when they, that a lot are suffering because...
A lot of people are suffering because of false compassion.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thinking that you have to deal, assuming that you have to deal with everything. No. So anyway, I'm on the bus. She manifested already. I didn't even turn to her. I turned to the window, looked out the window, and under my breath, because I know my authority, I said, you sit here and don't you move until one of us gets off this bus. And I tell you before God in heaven, when I said that, it looked like she became a board, and she went just like this, and she stayed like this the whole time. Mm. We got to a bus stop, we got down the road and got to a bus stop, and she was so at this point trying to get away from me that when the bus stopped, she jumped up and took off, and then she realized it wasn't her stop and came back and sat back down and went just like this. And she stayed like that until she got off the bus. I'm casting out more demons that day. I just wanted to get home.
Wow. She didn't think it goes to another sleep.
No, I don't know what, you know. Demons, you gotta understand, demons are they're attracted to the anointing. But then when they come close, they act up. Causing you to have to take authority. You know, and say, stop acting up. We went to a wonderful meeting with about 3,500, is that right? About 3,000. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 3,500 youth this year. Oh, it was so much fun. It was so much fun. But some of them, some of the kids, man, some of the youth, are, I mean, they're demon possessed. They have, and oppressed, you know. I mean, you know, you understand. We won't get into the oppression. That's doctrine. Some people believe the oppression and depression. I don't believe a saint, a true believer, can be possessed, but they certainly can be oppressed by the enemy. And so, yeah, we had some cases where there was serious manifestation, you know, and you just have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. Some of them were physical, and you just have to know who you are, and you say, stop it, and don't hurt her. I like that. I like doing that. We've had some encounters over the years that were very physical, and we just tell them, don't you hurt her. You speak to them demons because they have no choice. When you know who you are, they got no choice. They got no choice. So we say, we had one girl, and she was a big girl, but you know, and so this demon is just really, and these big full-sized people were holding her down, trying their best to hold down one arm, and the arm just kept raising, you know what I'm saying? You got a big dude who was down like this on his knees, and she's raising her arm, pushing him up, you know, like nothing, right? This is not about me. I'm trying to make a point. You have to know who you are. We wasn't always able to do that, but we came to a place of knowing who we are and being willing to just love people beyond their demons and deal with the demon. Jesus said to one of his buddies, Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. I know that shocked Peter, but he dealt with the demon behind the person. And you gotta love people enough to deal with the demons behind the person. And so they were holding her down, man, and she, I mean, they could barely keep her down. And I went over and I said, let her go. And they looked at me like, are you crazy? I said, let her go. I said, now don't you hurt her. You sit right there and don't you hurt her in Jesus' name. And she just stayed right there. No more fight. But as long as the demons had an audience, you understand what I'm saying? They look for an audience. So they like to hang out with you. So why she didn't get another seat? It wasn't because there wasn't no other seats on the bus. But it's weird. They want to be close because they recognize, but at the same time they want to act up. Anyway, so we talk about definitions. Definitions are really big for me. So when you talk about definitions, I told Kelly, the Lord said that his definition of success, remember that? His definition. So many times we find that we have really different definitions of things than what God has. Was God involved in that? Why did he let that happen? Why did he let them get scattered? You know what I'm saying? Why did they have to leave and go to Judea and Samaria and stuff? And the apostles were able to stay, right? You know, but the rest of them was like, we got to go, man. This is rough. You know, North Carolina has become a cesspool. We got to, you know what I'm saying? Or New York has become a, or Chicago has become a, you know, spiritually speaking, and I can't stay here anymore. How many people have moved because the place just got too bad? Some people were run, not everybody, but some people were run out. They didn't see it that way, but some people were scattered because they tried their best to live for the Lord, right? I used to catch it in the military. I used to catch it, man. I was born again. The military is not a born again system, okay? It's not. It is not a born again system. They don't support it. It's so funny because, you know, they got chaplains. My brother was a chaplain for 22, 23 years, something like that, in the Army. Retired a few years ago as a colonel. He's a chaplain his whole life. I couldn't figure out how he did that. But he did it. And he has a good heart, and he helped a lot of people and got hundreds baptized in the desert, man, in a big old wooden box. Put a big old plastic thing in there and fill it up with water. And, you know, we have an old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes. Jesus said, truly I say to you, there is one who has left, no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel, who will not receive a hundredfold. Isn't that wonderful? Now in this time, we love the hundredfold, right?
Yes.
Houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with, I gotta pull my pointer out for that one. Hold on. I got a pointer. I come prepared, y'all. I come with everything. Persecutions. Wait a minute.
That's the one I was expecting.
That's because y'all are too tech savvy and you live in 2019 and you don't know the benefits of a good physical pointer. That's why. Come on, that's the one I'm looking for. Whatever.
They both work.
Thank you, June. They both work. Persecution. This one is better though. Anyway. Persecutions. Right there. And in the age to come, eternal life. Put those together. Persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. Persecutions and in the age to come, to eternal life. What is he telling us? It's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? You know what that scripture is saying to me? If I live for Jesus, I could possibly experience distress, tribulation, persecution, famine, nakedness. Y'all don't want to see this naked. I'm just telling you. Danger or sword. I'm telling you. We don't read it like that. Jesus said, you gonna follow me? Yeah, okay, are you sure? When you go to get somebody saved, you need to give them a real good understanding of what they're getting into. You need to try to talk them out of getting saved. Now, John, let me tell you now. You wanna get saved? Okay, now listen, this is what you're probably gonna be in for, okay? You know, people aren't gonna like you. Because you're associating yourself with Jesus. And people didn't like Jesus. And I just want you to let you know, it would be the best decision that you ever made, but you need to understand what you're getting into, right? Because I don't want you to turn around and go back. God's not into revolving doors, right? So he has a wonderful plan for your life, but I want to bring you in with a realistic understanding of what it is that you're doing. You're aligning yourself with Jesus Christ.
And that means that you're going to deal with trouble and you're going to deal with stuff, and it's going to be okay because he will be with you every step of the way. But you want to understand, whatever you've been told up until now about tiptoeing through the tulips, it's a lie. It's a real life. And it's the best decision you'll ever make, but it is a real life. We need to be able to tell people that and help them understand what they're getting into. Everyday life, or is it the devil? Is trouble, is every trouble which comes our way a direct attack from the devil?
No.
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 But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. Isn't that something? So, I mean, what are we told? We're told to pray for them, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
it'll bring you an upgrade.
Because it'll bring you an upgrade?
That's right.
I like that, an upgrade. Pray for them, you get an upgrade. God says, yeah, they could have really ran their car through the front door to church, but he prayed instead. Yeah, okay,
did
I'll upgrade them. We got an upgrade. Big time. We really did.
There you go.
We really did. Warfare prayer. Intercessory prayer. Is there such thing as warfare prayer?
Yeah.
Yeah? Anybody? Yes. Anybody? Y'all pretty quiet. It's like I'm not saying nothing. Where's he going with this? I'm not. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now, I know people, wait a minute, I know people who like to separate all of this. Anybody go, like anybody, not where you go, I want to know where you go, but I know people who say, okay, if you're going to have a prayer meeting, have a prayer meeting, not a worship meeting. And if you're going to have a worship meeting, have a worship meeting, not a prayer meeting. But I know people who operate like that. I don't get it. I just do it all together. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks. I put on some worship music, man, and I just start worshiping a cappella. A cappella is better. A lot of times, a cappella is better. But, you know, in any session, we'll probably end up doing all of these. You know what I'm saying? And declarations. You know, you start seeing stuff and calling stuff out. We had a prayer night one time at the house, and I hadn't seen it. I don't know yet. It seemed like I heard a little something in the news, but I don't know that that was it. But we started seeing things about Israel. You know, and different things in Israel. Oh, we did see it. There was something about some tunnels that they had found. We prayed that in our little house in Charlotte, North Carolina. Don't know Netanyahu, don't know nobody, right? Just us praying at our home. But God uses us to declare some things in Israel that did come to pass about a year ago. Not too very long ago, I think we were praying about a year, maybe a year and a half ago, but not too very long ago, there was a piece in the news, and it was something that we had prayed out in one of our meetings about some tunnels that had been found, you know. It's very interesting, man. It's very interesting. But we do all of it. We just do it all. Who in the days of his flesh when he had, oh, this is good. Boy, I'm glad I didn't miss this. Who in the days of his flesh, talking about Jesus, right, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, boy, this is going to mess y'all up. With strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Excuse me. And was heard in that he feared. This is talking about Jesus, right? Who in the days of his flesh, means when he was here in the earth, he offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying, Jesus? With tears? Jesus? To the one who was able to save him from death? So you know what he was crying about?
Crucifixion.
Going to the cross. Yes and no. Okay, I don't want to go deep, but I'm going to have to say this. Yes and no, going to the cross, it was really about him being separated from his father.
Yes.
But the cross was the means that was going to end up causing him. So you can say, yeah, it's still the same. But look at what it says. And was heard. And was heard. Our definition of God hearing us is God delivering us. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
Our definition of God hearing us is God delivering us. But Jesus prayed with strong crying and tears, and it says he was heard. God heard him. And guess what he did? He died. He died just the same. Nothing changed about his assignment. Oh, that's good right there. Nothing changed concerning his assignment. So when you're on assignment and it gets hard and it gets rough and you are crying and there's tears and then you feel the anointing of God and then you assume because God lets you feel him in your moment of crying and tearing and calling and making supplications, and you feel the anointing of God, he's coming to help you, right? To get through it, right? To stand in there with you. But the assumption is that he's going to deliver me from it. And nothing changes about your situation because you're on assignment. That's good right there. That's good right there. You're on assignment. Nothing changes. God, what happened? But I felt you. I felt you. I felt you. He's like, yeah, no, I was there to comfort you. I didn't come to deliver you. I came to comfort you. There. It's going to be okay. It's going to, while you're going, look, while you're going to the cross, God is saying, there. It's going to be okay. Go ahead. Keep going. No. Don't stop. Keep going. I'm not here to deliver you. I'm here to help you get up on that cross and die. What? Huh? Y'all still here? There are times when God shows up not to deliver you. He shows up to help you get up on your cross and die. Jesus said, take up your own cross and what? He didn't say, go hang it up around your neck. He didn't say, put it on a chain. He didn't say, make your own. I made this, so I'll be selling it. No, I'm just kidding. He didn't say make your own and put your little cross on it and all of that, right? No. He said get up on it and die. Take up your own cross. There's a scripture. It's in Isaiah 53, June. Isaiah 53, well-known verse of scripture, Isaiah 53, where it says it pleased the Father to bruise his son. Anybody even really thought about that? Are you sons of God and daughters of God? Guess what? It pleased the Father to bruise his son. Y'all thought that was just Jesus. Oh, that was just Jesus. No. Jesus said, get up on your cross and follow me. There's things that God will not move out of the way. He'll let you, he'll just process you through it. I didn't tell you the rest of the dream. I'll tell you that now. The big with the big angel who told me to say, God is with me, God is for me, God is in me. As soon as I finished saying the third thing he told me to say, the angel disappeared and I found myself in a room with Satan himself. And I'm walking around the room and he is this close to me, but somehow he's not touching me. That was prophetic. That he can be close, but I don't belong to you, so you can't touch me. All you can do is harass. So it was like he was closer than my shadow, but somehow he wasn't touching me. He was just there to harass me. And he follows me around this room. I'm walking, and he's right up on me. And finally, I get frustrated. And I turn around, and I grab the devil by his wrist. And as soon as I grabbed him, I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I wasn't afraid. I just knew that I was out of order and out of position trying to deal with the devil in my own self. And I let his wrist go and turned around and started walking again. And he kept following me. It wasn't like he left me alone. In the dream, he kept following me. When I woke up, the Lord said, okay, you're going to come into a time You know, we had several dreams. Me and Robin had several dreams in this time period, and all of them were pointing to persecution. All of them were pointing to a slowdown in what we do in ministry. All of them were pointing to it's going to look a certain kind of way, and it might even look like I'm not with you, I'm not for you, and I'm not in you. That's why I sent the angel first, so that you'll know during this time of your life that I'm with you, I'm for you, and I'm in you. And sure enough, right after those several dreams and stuff, we started going through, all kinds of stuff. We started going through all kinds of stuff. In our bodies, in our finances, at the house, on the job. It was like on every front, there was something that was trying to just distract us and get me to turn and deal with it in my own strength. And I had to just keep walking, saying, God is with me, God is for me, God is in me.
And so we want to thank you for joining us once again, Under the Fig Tree. And we hope to see you again. And we hope that you got a lot out of this content. And if you don't mind, let us know. Drop us a comment or send us an email and let us know what you think about the content. We'll be glad to share some more if you really get a lot out of it. And until next time, we'll see you again under the Fig Tree.